I mean, are you gonna do it, or are you just...
I'm gonna do it. Okay. I was trying to find the song.
Wait for
it. The notes. I got it. All right. Welcome to One More Podcastle, episode 110. My name's Jason Lamb, resident Canadian, and for some reason, I'm your host tonight.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer and co-community manager, and I just hurt all over.
And my name is Victor Vellin. I'm stepping in tonight for the One More Podcastle, and I'm the founder and executive editor of Video Gaming Hardcore.
Woo! Victor Vellin. Can I call you Victor?
Absolutely.
I'm going to call you Vellin.
If that's a thing, let it be.
There you go. So, Victor, thank you so much, especially on short notice, for coming in and filling in for Bailey. I know those giant clown shoes are huge, but we do thank you for doing so. At least I do. I don't know how Jason feels.
Nah, yeah. Whatever.
Oh, come on, Jason. Yeah, don't be that way.
That drink would have been a good idea, but I did not think of that.
It's delicious.
What is it?
Guinness.
Nice.
Puts hair on your chest. And I've realized that I already have hair on my chest, but now I have too much, so I will be the Wolf Man for Halloween this year.
Easy Halloween costume.
Yeah. Just walk around in flannel with like my shit hanging out. I don't know what the Wolf Man does. I don't know what he does.
So have you guys been playing any old video games?
Victor, would you like to go first?
Old games. Are we restricted to old games? Because
no.
Old games are coming soon, but haven't really had a lot of time for older games. Actually, scratch that. The last thing we played on stream was Devil May Cry 3.
Nice.
Yeah, I've been seeing those.
We're still going through that. It's one heck of a journey.
Painstaking process.
It's always interesting when you go back to a game that you played so much, but you go back to it years later and realize how much you really suck.
How so?
Well, I don't know if either of you two have played DMC3, but there is a boss, there is a sorceress in the game. And this boss should take no longer than 5 minutes if you know what you're doing. It took me about half hour.
Wow.
Good fourth of the stream.
Wait, a half an hour for a boss?
Yeah, it really shouldn't take that long. That's just a testament to how terrible I was.
So wait, is this the Devil May Cry that like I happened to come across when you guys were streaming it and you were fighting a giant face in Video Land?
A giant face. That's the latest DMC.
Oh, okay.
And I probably confused you by calling it DMC. See, I can't do that anymore because of the new game.
Right. No, I just remember like, oh, sweet, Devil May Cry. And I was like, what the hell is going on? Like, he's like in Video Worlds? Is this Tron? Like, I thought it was Tron. It's just like a really creepy version of Tron.
The Barbarbus fight. So good.
It's weird, man. It's just weird. Yeah, 30 minutes for a boss, that's a long time.
Yeah, I was pretty ashamed of myself.
It happens. What are you going to do? I've been playing a game that should have been released back in 93, and then 20 years later, it actually was released.
What?
So, yeah, so it's kind of an interesting story. The game is called Nightmare Busters, which was originally supposed to be released in 1993 for the Super NES. And for one reason or not, the developer just completely lost funding or dropped out, whatever it was. The game was practically finished, just never saw a release date. And I remember coming across it, the Cutting Room Floor, which is a great website if you're looking for things that have been cut out of games that are like still in the code and stuff. You could lose quite a bit of an hour on that site. So 20 years later, it's 2013, there's a company called Super Fighter Team, I think is the name of it, they teamed up with the original developer to try to release this game finally. So they were taking pre-orders. And I put my money down. It's a $60 game, Super NES game. Came with like the legit Super NES box, full color instruction booklet. And it's a kind of a mystical sort of run and gun kind of game. So you play as like a magician who throws playing cards. That's like your weapon. And you get all these really sweet power-ups. Giant sprites, like full of detail. Great music. Super hard. Like just overly hard. I just got the game yesterday. So I bought it technically almost 2 years ago. And I just got the game yesterday. And
does it live up the 2 years of expectation?
It's really good. Like, it...
Nice.
It fits. I'm a huge run-and-gun game fan. Like, that's my go-to genre. Well, like, if I'm feeling down or sad or somebody called me fat. That's usually the games that I play. But this game's, like, it's got everything that I would expect it to have, especially coming back from 1993. Like, there's certain spots where you're running through, and there's, like, a giant column in the center of the screen. And it's like, oh, I got to destroy this giant column before I'm allowed to continue. Well, this giant column takes 50 hits. So I'm throwing my weapon at it as hard as I can. And then, like, these little guys start coming. You're like, oh, shit. So you're constantly, you know, moving your firepower from the column to the other enemies on screen. And it's like one of those things where it's like, man, my weapon's just not that powerful. I really wish I could get a power up right now. And like out of nowhere, like this chest starts like floating down. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. And I blow the chest up and I get like, yeah, it upgrades my power. And I'm like, oh my God, this game. It's really good.
What's it called again?
Nightmare Busters. Nice. Nightmare Busters.
Nightmare Busters.
Yeah. This is one of three games, like homebrew style games, that I like put my money into, and it's like, all right, man, it's been a year and a half. Where's my game? that I've gotten, and I actually got the second one about a week ago, which is really good, and I'm still waiting for that third one, but that's gonna be, I don't know, like they suck me in, you know, because it's like, oh, we got this great idea for a game. We're going to play it on original dedicated hardware from back in 1993. How cool would that be? Sounds amazing. 2 years goes by and it's like, all right, where's my game? Like, I know you guys are a small team and you got a lot of shit going on. I get that. It sucks. You know, I could only imagine. But it's like, you already took that money out of my bank account. Like, I kind of want my game now. Like, that's not cool.
So are they only releasing this for Super Nintendo?
Yeah, so it's only for Super Nintendo, for NTSC and PAL. And the game is, the cartridge actually has the ability to recognize if it's NTSC or PAL just by hitting the reset button. Like, it realizes region it's in. So, apparently the game's only supposed to take about an hour and a half to beat. I think I got maybe to level 2. And I was like, I just can't do this anymore. Like, this game's just brutal. Absolutely brutal. But man, it's a lot of fun.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Nice. I've been playing, I finished Wind Waker.
Did you?
Wind Waker HD?
Yeah, Wind Waker
HD. Oh, yeah, this, finished Jason Lamb is officially a console owner.
Yes. It's bizarre. It's weird. It's such a weird freaking console.
I know, right? But it's so great.
It is. I even watched that's part of the stupid Nintendo Smash
Bros. Yeah, you did,
Bros.
Because you're in the click now, man.
I know. I've already got the game pre-ordered.
Yeah, you do.
God. But I beat that. I also beat Metroid Prime.
Okay. What was your final analysis
of Metroid,
Prime Trilogy, right? It's the trilogy?
Okay. Yeah, I've only beat the first game.
I mean, that's...
So I still got 2 and 3 to go through, but...
You're not the only one.
Yeah.
It's...
Use your words, Jason.
It wasn't as good as I remembered.
Okay.
similar thing to, I want to say, it's very similar to Wind Waker in the ending, where it's like, you gotta chase down all these artifacts. And you're literally going through all the levels you just beat, looking for these hidden artifacts. Because you now have the clues to find them.
Oh, okay.
And I hate games that just end up padding out the ending by making you go through all the levels again.
Yeah.
That, and I mentioned last couple weeks ago how it still has a lock-on feature.
Yeah, but you can still, like, look around.
But you can still look around because you're using the Wiimote.
Right.
You come to part of the game where there's, like, a stalactite or something hanging from the ceiling, and you can blast some of them down and use them as platforms.
Right.
In this one part of the game, in, like, the Arctic section, when you lock on, you have to hit this very specific spot, but the spot is very tiny. So when you lock on, unless your Wiimote is directly on that spot, anywhere else you blast on that thing, it's not going to fall down. So I spent like 10 minutes like, okay, I'm out of missiles, got to go find more missiles. Come back, keep blasting. And eventually I had to go online. I was like, okay, stalactite won't fall. Metroid Prime.
Go Google.
So, and I pulled up a post from IGN, some forum post where guys like, yo, I can't get this thing to fall. They're like, yeah, you just have to hit this little indent on the right side.
Wow.
Make sure you aim there specifically. He's like, oh, okay, maybe I just had to take a break from the Wiimote. So I'm assuming on the GameCube it goes like right on that section, but with the Wiimote you're just kind of like, eh, gonna aim everywhere. But it was great. I'm looking forward to the second one when I get around playing it.
Nice.
Yeah, it was good. I'd recommend it.
I don't know, man. Like, that just, that control scheme,
it's so bizarre.
Yeah.
But you know what? I have a lot more respect for it because I started Red Steel.
Oh, okay, yeah. So how is that working out for you? Because, well, here's why I say this, is because I had mentioned Red Steel before, weeks ago, and it was one of those titles for the Wii that I was like, oh my god, this game's going to be amazing. Mm. Like, it had so much, like, I don't even know what you would call it, but, like, there was just, it just had this air of, like, oh, if you really want to play a first-person shooter, like how it's intended to be played, this is the game. And then you get it, and you're playing it, and you're like, wow, there's a lot of problems with this control scheme. Like, I shouldn't have to keep my arm back and then push it forward to zoom up, because that's the dumbest thing in the world. Like, nobody's going to do that.
It feels like a proof of concept. Like, a bunch of guys at Ubisoft got together. We're like, okay, guys, we're just going to throw something together over a weekend. We're going to pitch to the team, you know, see if they like it. And they did, but instead of finishing it, they just shipped it as it was.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a mess. Even the sword fights, like, you spend, like, a good, like, 10 minutes going through tutorials at the beginning. This is how you block. This is how you parry. This is how you dodge.
No, you can't block
this. And you never have to use those again, because you literally can just sit there swinging the remote.
Yeah.
And the AI is too stupid to do anything.
It's like, it's...
Wow. They just stand there, like, ow, ow, ow. I'm like, well, that was done.
Nice.
I'm not sure if it was worth, like, the $4.50 I paid
for it. Well, what were you going to say, Victor?
But...
I was just going to say, I'll be sure to not play that.
Oh, my God.
But, like, you want it to be so good, because the story's actually not that bad. Like, the story's kind of enticing, because you're, like, this white dude who is in love with this Japanese woman. And, like, you get caught up in this whole Yakuza kind of scenario, and you go to some really weird places. Like, one of the levels is a toy-making factory that has, like, apparently been covered in snow. Like, it doesn't make any sense. But you're happy to be there, because it's such an interesting area.
Okay. Well, I'm glad those happen eventually, because so far I've just fought through garages and a car wash. And apparently I'm 20% through the game.
Right. So.
Okay.
Don't buy it.
It's
whatever you do.
It's one of those games that was, like, super ambitious. And then when it came out, man, like, it was either, like, the development team was like, okay, we're at a loss. Like, we have to cut you know, develop, we have to cut programmers, or we lost money or something, so just start cutting shit out of the game. Because one of the big things that they were talking about was, like, the bullet time effect. And I was like, oh, yeah, you could do, like, you could slow down time and you could shoot people, you know. And I was like, oh, sweet, that'll be great because I can actually aim and shoot, you know, with my arm. And then you don't get that ability till like, 3/4 of the way through the game. And it's like, I don't even care anymore at this point. Like, I don't need bullet time. Like, it's a waste.
Well, even the way the levels are constructed, like, there's one part where you're a car, you're chasing a car, but you're on foot.
Right.
And it's going through, like, the various levels of the underground parking, so you have to run upstairs. And there's a timer to reach each next level in the parking garage. But literally, the stairs are 2 flights. But it's like, you've got 60 seconds. You gotta reach that next flight. But you're literally there in, like, 6 seconds. Right.
It's like, no, nah, like, I guess I'll smoke real quick. Like, I got time.
Yeah, I'll take in the scenery. You know? Take a bathroom break.
The Wii's weird, man.
Oh, yeah. It's weird. But...
Metal Slug!
Speaking of weird, we have a listener discussion question.
Is that weird?
No, not okay. Really. But that's a Bailey segue.
It's a terrible big Bailey segue.
Yeah, it's a terrible Bailey segue. All right, this one comes from Walter Williams at Willy Four Eyes on Twitter. And he says, well met, One More Castle dwellers. I've been collecting and playing video games for over 25 years. I try to avoid purchasing the same game on multiple platforms whenever possible to make it easier for myself when it comes to take inventory. I do make an occasional exception for games that come out on consoles and handhelds. NES, SNES versus Game Boy, GameCube versus Game Boy Advance, Wii versus Nintendo DS, etc. Since the differences between the two sets of platforms tend to be far more pronounced than your standard multi-platform game. The graphics are almost always better than the console version, and in some cases the handheld version may contain different levels or be completely different playing experience altogether. Take Sonic the Hedgehog 2, for example. Many gamers are familiar with the exploits of Sonic and his friend Tails on the Sega Genesis. In the Game Gear / Master System version, however, you don't get to play as Tails, and the Chaos Emeralds are hidden within the levels rather than obtained in special stages. Sonic 2 is the first game I received with my Game Gear in Christmas of 93, and the Genesis version was impressive in so many different ways, but the Game Gear version still holds a special place in my heart, despite being on a less powerful console. Today, I ask the following question. Have you, or would you ever buy the same game on more than one platform if you knew there were significant differences between the two?
Victor, thoughts?
Well, it's an interesting question, because I actually, well, I can't say I bought it yet. I would, if I had the money. Diablo 3 is now on the console. And, I mean, it was before, but it was kind of too buggy. They've released the Ultimate Evil Edition, which, if you can pick that up for the Xbox 360, or excuse me, the Xbox One or the PS4, you get a version that's on par with the PC. As in, the patch updates, they're going to keep up with it. So the PC will get it first, but the latest updates will come as well to the console versions. And what you get out of the console versions, all the people who are complaining, oh, I can only play it online only on the PC, well, now you can play it local with your friends on the couch.
Well, I think, I mean, from what I've read about Diablo 3, like, it's an interesting case because it feels like they actually created that game to be used with a controller. Like, they've really kind of dumbed down the amount of actions you need, and it fits perfectly in the controller scheme. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that was, like, their end game all along. So it's kind of odd that, I don't know, PC Master Race?
It does work surprisingly well on the console.
Which is great, because, I mean, you know, it just goes to show that, you know, they still see consoles as being a, you know, a reason to release games. You know, it's there's not that divide for them, and I applaud that, you know.
What about you?
Oh, man, you kidding me? Like, I think I have maybe 8 versions of The Legend of Zelda, and it's the exact same game.
All right, fair enough.
I own 3 copies of the cartridge alone. just because the cartridge itself, not the game, but the cartridge itself is variant. So, like, I have the gold cartridge, and then I have the gray cartridge that was re-released, and then I have the gold cartridge that has five screws and not three, because that was the variant. Like, I have four different versions of A Link to the Past. I don't need variations. I don't need graphics. I just need that game that I love on a different console or handheld, and I will buy it.
So from a collector's standpoint, you'll buy the various versions?
Have I told my Duck Hunt story on here before?
Yes.
Okay. So my Duck Hunt story. There you go.
You literally,
that's all I'm going
to
say.
Literally told it 2 weeks ago.
Oh, was it? Okay. It was 2 weeks ago. All right. Well,
go ahead.
For Victor, who may not know, basically I was trying to get every variant of, like, Super Mario Brothers Duck Hunt. Track Meet? So, like, I wanted them all together, and I wanted them separate. And, like, I went to the game store, and I was like, I just need Duck Hunt. And he's like, oh, it's $5. And I was like, that's fine. He's like, you know, you can get Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt together. I'm like, I understand that, but I got that game already. I just need Duck Hunt. The guy proceeded to give me shit about it, and ultimately ended up buying the game because apparently the guy's an asshole. So that's the short version.
Wow.
That's the short version. There's a 15-minute version, like, three episodes ago or four episodes ago. So, yeah. I collect.
Yes, you do.
And I play.
Always a good thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you gotta preserve it, man. Preservation. Now, Jason, how does this work for you, since you're in a digital age, my friend?
I know. I'm the digital PC player.
So, I mean,
if we're talking about, say, in the same, I'll use the same console era to keep it simple. So, like, if a game came out on the PS2 and the GameCube, we'll use Soul Calibur as an example. I had a GameCube and I had a PS2. Soul Calibur 2, GameCube, get to use Link. PS2, you got to use Hayachi.
Right. And I think the Xbox was Spawn.
That makes sense.
Okay. Yeah,
Xbox was Spawn.
There is nothing that's going to make me buy two copies of that game. I'm just going to buy one. I'm going to enjoy the game. Just that extra bonus feature isn't going to do it for me. But in terms of, if we're talking about updating, like, let's say, like, I have a box copy of, I don't know.
He's got to look because he's not used to having physical copies of
I'm not. Okay, I've got a box copy of X-Wing back there.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got a USB floppy drive. So I could look
that
up.
No, you don't. You have a USB floppy drive.
Yeah, man. It's great.
I'm a little jealous.
Look at this thing.
Wow.
$6. $6 on eBay.
That's something.
But
wait, do you have a USB zip drive?
I almost bought one.
I'm sure you did.
It was cheap. I was like, I may as well just buy one. But in terms of if I can buy a game again that's been updated to run on a modern system, I will. So if X-Wing came out, say, on good old games or through Steam, I'd buy it again. Just for the convenience.
Right, yeah, because you don't have to go through DOSBox. You don't have
to go through DOSBox. You don't have to
load it as Windows 95 capability and all of that. And yeah.
Yeah, so from a convenience thing, I'll buy a game again. If it has new features, great. If it doesn't, I'll just buy it from a convenience factor. But within, like, the same amount, like, almost a console era, I won't buy two versions of a game.
Right.
No, like, that makes sense. Yeah, I'm planning on getting Smash Brothers for the Wii U. But I purposely didn't get it for the 3DS because I knew the Wii U version was coming out. Why own two versions of the game? Especially if I'm...
Funny thing, actually. That's actually a perfect segue because just posted in my community... Well, actually, I discovered it before I came here. They are bringing back Mewtwo.
Yes.
As DLC.
Wow.
But this is only if you get, I guess, both versions of the game.
No, you can download it. They've confirmed it has a paid download as well.
Oh, it's paid too?
It's paid too. It's just a bonus if you bought both.
Oh, so it's free if
you
bought both.
So you don't have to pay for it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, okay.
Yeah, it's free if you got the 3DS and the Wii U version. But if you only have one, you can fork up, say, like, the $5, whatever it's going to cost.
Yeah, I caught like little bits and pieces of that Nintendo Direct that I still need to watch.
Yeah. Which is interesting because I think this is actually the first time Nintendo's really done any kind of downloadable content and like really pushed it. You know, like they went on and on about like, oh, Mario Kart 8, you can download Link in this super sweet motorcycle. And it's like, yeah, that's great. And it's like, we've got so much other stuff now. Mewtwo. And it's like, all right, you guys are getting crazy. Like, I know this is your first time out in the field, but come on, man. Like, pump the brakes a little bit. Like, but I don't know. Like, that's, yeah, I don't see anybody playing the 3DS version of Super Smash Brothers after the Wii U's release. It's pointless.
Yeah, unless if you don't plan on getting a Wii U, that's fine. I'm sure you'd enjoy it, but if you have both or have the option between the two, and you just seem like you'd go for the Wii U one, just from graphics and features and control scheme.
And you can use your 3DS to play it on the Wii U.
You can.
Did they announce that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I don't know why you would realistically do that. But.
Well, so here's what I'm speculating, and I'm sorry. Here's what I'm praying for, is the fact that this is a soak test to see how the 3DS can interact with the Wii U, and if it works out, especially in a competitive fighting game like Smash Brothers is, then you'll be able to play your 3DS games on your big screen TV by using.
I
that
would
connectivity.
Love that. I would.
That's
my
what
3DS
I want
for that feature.
That's what I want.
And they'll test this so much that they'll finally decide to put out Pokemon Stadium HD.
It's never going to happen, man.
Damn it.
They got to put out Pokemon Snap before they put out Pokemon Stadium.
You're one of those too, huh?
Are you kidding
Pokemon
me?
Pokemon
Snap, man. Come on. That'd be perfect. You just take the remote and you're kind of like looking around. Oh.
It's true. It would work perfectly.
Yeah. I mean, I'd take Pokemon Stadium too. I'm just saying. Want my Snap.
Hey, the guy who developed Pokemon Snap says he'd be down for a new game.
Yeah, who's that guy?
I don't know.
Bridges?
Yeah, Jeff Bridges. Jeff Bridges presents Pokemon Snap.
I knew it. Jeff Bridges is everywhere. So.
Speaking of Jeff Bridges, it's time for a musical break. That song was Ace of Space by Beat Drop, a remix from the Guardian Legend. Cool.
It's an NES game, Jason.
It's I know. It's I really read it verbatim. It literally says cool. So it was cool. So, and now for everyone's favorite part of our podcast, it's the one more something showdown.
No, it's the Retro Showdown.
Whatever. The, you put in the noise here and go,
Retro Showdown!
I will host this how I want.
Apparently. I am sorry for interrupting.
I really feel like I'm in retrospection here.
Yeah, man, this is, yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
It's good to know we all plan the same way, or yep. Don't plan the same way.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know,
which would each include week, Jason.
Which includes me. Each week, we choose a game, each, and then argue its merits. And we have a minute to argue why our game is better than the others. We'll then spend about half an hour ripping each other apart. That said, let's look back at the Retro Showdown winner. 2 weeks ago, in a podcast first.
What?
One game did not garner a single vote.
Oh, man, it's my game!
It's your game. So yeah, while I won with Wind Waker, we're going to give Eric Hunter a special prize because Mickey Speedway did not get a single vote.
Wow.
So kudos to you, sir.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, you were against Wind Waker and Super Mario World?
I don't care.
So
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Still no votes.
No votes. No one voted for you.
18 votes were casted. 12 for Wind Waker. 6 for Super Mario World. 0 for a duck not wearing pants and driving a go-kart. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Sorry, man.
I have lost faith in this community. All right, it's fine. Okay. I'm all right.
All right.
I'm okay. It's all right.
All right. Because we have a guest host this week, we're going to do a free-for-all. So we're throwing up the theme. That said, I guess I'll start.
It's GoldenEye.
It's GoldenEye, N64, and I'm out. Yeah. No. All right, here we go. To celebrate the fact that today, as of this recording, it was announced that 3D Realms is officially back. I've selected a game that brought me many a thrilling night in the year of 1996. Featuring cars, guns, and even a guest appearance by Duke Nukem, this game was perhaps the greatest vehicular combat game of all time. That's right, it's Death Rally for MS-DOS.
What?
As you guide cars around racetracks, arming them with machine guns, spikes, and even deployable mines, you have to kill your way up through the ranks as you can buy new cars, armor, and eventually take the crown from the Duke himself. Duke Nukem. It's Death Rally for MS-DOS.
So, I don't know, I'm sorry. Well, I'll wait. I'm sorry. No, let's get the answers out of the way.
Let's keep going. Are you ready, Hunter?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right, you may go.
Have you ever thought that Pong is just too darn boring? That black screen with white text, it's just too much. You want more edge. You want more feeling. You want more Neo Geo? No? Okay. So, Windjammers for the Neo Geo is essentially Pong, or air hockey, which is essentially Pong. But with style, with flair, you're throwing a frisbee disc. That's right. The old school style frisbee. Like, you know, disc golf. Ultimate frisbee. Back and forth. Trying to make it into the goal. Released only in the arcade. Or if you happen to have a Neo Geo CD in 1994. It's Windjammers for the Neo Geo.
Wow.
Windjammers.
All right. Victor, are you ready?
You guys threw some oddball choices in there. Huh. I don't even know how I'm going to come into that.
Perfect.
Perfect.
But you know what? We're going to go with it. We're just just going to throw something out there.
All right.
If we're going to be just as weird,
good.
Then we're going to talk about a NES game where you could be one of two people. And you can kind of pick stages just like Mega Man. Each stage has a specific character that you can pick for their stage. You fight a bunch of these enemies in each stage. Your goal is to push enemies into walls. This is Mendel Palace for the NES.
What? Mendel Palace? You've got catchy 30 music. More seconds if you want.
There's not much of a plot outside of saving your girlfriend.
Very important. Wow.
Yeah. All right. You got another 15 if you really want them.
You know, I honestly don't even know what else to say about the game.
That good.
It's that simple.
Nice. All right. It's a Mendel Palace. All right. Nope. So we brought... okay.
Oh, man.
Windjammers.
What did we do? Windjammers for the Neo Geo.
So, is that like extreme frisbee? Or like extreme golf?
Here's how I came across this game. This game had a very small release in arcades, or at least the arcade around me. I do say. And I specifically remember playing it because it's super fast paced, and 9 times out of 10, you don't even know what the hell's going on. Because, like, there's no intro level or anything like that. It's like, hit the button! Like, every Neo Geo game out there. It's like, you see that little graphic of the finger hitting the red button. So I'm just slamming the button. And probably, like, 30 days later, like, it was gone. Like, the game just didn't exist anymore. And I, as a adolescent child, I forgot about it. And it was probably, had to have been maybe, like, a year or two ago. I was listening to another podcast besides this one, just so everybody knows. I do listen to this podcast, even though I edit it and listen to it and edit it and listen to it. I still listen to it. And they were talking about this game called Windjammers, and they were making a joke. They're like, oh, we can just play Windjammers. And everybody's like, oh, God, Windjammers. Yes, let's play Windjammers. And I'm like, what's this Windjammers? And when I looked it up, I was like, oh my God, that's that game. That's that game that I played that I loved, but never could remember the name of the game or couldn't remember practically anything about it, at least not enough for Google to be able to recognize. Like, I can't just go to Google and be like, game with two players throwing thing around very fast paced. It's not going to be like, oh, are you talking about Windjammers? Google's not that cool yet. Like, it's not.
Yet.
True. Yeah. Like, it's not into the retro gaming. But I lost my shit. I'm not even kidding. Like, I freaked out for probably 15 minutes when I found this game. So, Windjammers is essentially Pong, but in the essence of Ultimate Frisbee. Now, since it's called Ultimate Frisbee, the word ultimate means that it is the highest tier therein. Showdown ever.
You brought a Pong clone?
Basically, yeah. But it looks so good! Like, it looks good, it sounds good, it's super fast-paced. It got a lot of cool special moves, man! Like, you ever throw a frisbee? Like, it's ultimate! Ultimate frisbee.
I don't even know what to say.
It's just... Other than it's amazing?
Yes. No! No, wasn't leaning that way.
No?
No, it's on the Wii Virtual Console. For anyone listening, if they really want to play.
Trust me, you want to play this game. It's ultimate, and it's awesome.
And it's awesome. Windjammers.
Windjammers. Yeah, the title's a little weird. But that's all I'm going to say. So, Jason.
Yes.
As most of my conversations can start out with, so Jason.
Of course.
This is the definitive
Yes.
vehicular combat game.
Yes, I went there. I said it.
I mean, when you say those things, and Victor, I think you can agree with me. The first thing that comes to mind is obviously Twisted Metal.
That's where you're wrong.
How am I wrong? Please,
this is better than Twisted Metal.
Is it though?
Yes.
In what way?
Well, one, this is top down, as opposed to third person.
Because that makes it better.
It does. It really does for this.
Victor, does that make it better?
But squares and stuff.
Yeah.
You see this? This is supposed to be a bush. Well, bushes aren't square. Yeah, I know. It's top down.
Yeah.
When you have to pretend what the game could be, how is that better than Twisted Metal?
No. You could tell what things are. The graphics are pretty good.
What did you say this was for again?
MS-DOS.
Yeah, it's a DOS game.
It's a DOS game. It came out on Windows as well.
CD.
In 2009.
C:// And then, it's probably not even Death Rally. It's probably like DETRLY.exe run.
There was a shop. You could upgrade your car, better engines, tires, armor. You could repair it. There's a black market for buying weapons. And the best part was, it wasn't only about destroying things. You could win a race if you killed everyone. But you could also win a race by actually completing the race and coming in first. So whether you wanted to be a pure combat game or a pure racing game, the choice was yours.
So, okay.
Listen.
No. Like, I'm okay with that. Like, oh, Jesus. Yeah. I'm just going to slap things around. I'm okay with that. Like, I think that sounds great.
Yep.
Like, giving the player a choice how they want to win the race. That's fine. But typically, what you run into is that it's not, you can't win the race either by coming in first or destroying the other racers. Typically, the way that something like this works is you have to follow what the computer is doing. So if the computer is going after other racers, then you have to go after other racers. If the computer is trying to run the race, like to get first place, then you have to try to run the race to get first place. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Okay. Is that how this game is designed? Like, it's kind of black and white for the most part.
Not specifically. They are trying to come in first. But say if the AI is lagging behind someone, they will shoot at them. But they won't slow down to, go behind them and shoot at them. They'll continue to try to race as fast as possible. But I have to point out, it's the only game where you can race as people so cleverly named as Farmer Ted and Bogus Bill, or Mad Mac, or Clint West, or Greg Peck. Perhaps you want to be Cher Stone.
No, I don't. I really don't.
I'm telling you, you're missing out. Great game.
I mean,
it's better than Windjammers, and it's better than whatever Mental Palace is.
Oh my gosh. So what a talk about bringing a game that nobody knows what it is. Victor, please tell us what your game is. I've never heard of this game. I've never seen this game out in the wild.
It's a hard game to describe. Let me try and explain it more. There are
Spell it for me. What?
Mendel Palace.
M-E-N-D-E-L
Palace for the NES.
This game doesn't even exist. He lied to us. I'm kidding.
You can't
All right,
find
continue,
it?
Please. No, but anyway, I found it, please.
There's eight levels. And each level has a particular type of character that you fight against. The characters will pop. For example, I'll think of one of the levels that I always remember. There's one level where you fight ballerinas. And the goal of every level is to push the enemies into the wall to kill them.
So you're murdering ballerinas?
Yes.
All right.
Now, the ballerinas, as you progress, there's usually 10 levels or 10 stages to each level. And at the end, you either fight a bunch of the same enemy, except much faster, or you fight a girl / guy who happens to turn you into that character and makes you do what they do, but mostly makes you run into them so you die. You can also co-op this game with somebody else. If you have someone to play it with you,
which you both can enjoy
pushing people into walls.
So the game,
if you've ever wanted to push a baby into a wall, you have the opportunity to do that. Because there is a level with babies, and they jump around, and they get all hyper, especially if the time runs out, because if the time runs out, they start going faster.
What makes this better for me is the fact it's developed by Game Freak, developers of the Pokemon video games.
Yeah. Yes.
This is their debut title.
Yep.
So the game's set up on a grid, and each square, you're basically pulling the rug from under them, I guess you could... That's the best way to describe it. And by doing so, it pushes the enemy back until you hit him in the wall.
Yes.
God, this is such a weird game. what kind of drugs do you have to be on to be like, all right, I got it. So you're like this guy. And
I had a friend
totally killing babies the entire time. I hate ballerinas. I hate ballerinas, too. Let's put them in the game.
The way I discovered this game is I had a friend when I lived in New York. He was more fortunate than I was in regards to games. Like, he was always a generation in front of me. But he still had an NES, and he had one for a longer amount of time. So he had a bunch of games. This was one of the random games that I ran into, and... played with him, had fun. Looking back, I'm not sure why, but
yeah, I mean, it's
what the hell?
It's a thing.
I mean, you can, if you watch any kind of video gameplay of it, you can see the Game Freak aesthetics. Like, you can see Pokemon, like, they're just the way that the characters are designed and the sprites and that kind of thing. But I don't know, maybe it's just me, but, like, I really just don't like puzzle games. You know what I mean? Like, because at the end of the day, like, all of the puzzle games fall into, like, one category. It's either Tetris-inspired, or it's Bejeweled-inspired, or it's something that's so out and left field that nobody's going to play. That is Mindell Palace.
It's not a puzzle game, though.
It's a weird game.
There's a lot going on. That's as much as I can say. Like, I think I would just get tired of watching this guy run around the screen. I'm kind of getting tired watching it now. So.
Are you watching a video of the game?
It's just weird, man. Like, it's
just bizarre.
We got a boss fight. All right, let's see how this works out. Oh, somebody's getting kidnapped. Typical storyline, screen goes black, on to the next stage. No boss fight.
Does this have a multiplayer mode?
Yeah, you can play with somebody else. You both control essentially the same character, just a color swap. And you can push enemies in the walls.
It's like a weird, like... It's like a bizarre, like, alternate universe version of Bomberman.
It actually kind of gets fun that way, because if you have a friend that's kind of like, you know, you don't like them very much, you can push them into the enemies and kill them.
All right, that's kind of cool. Damn it, Victor.
This is just weird.
Man, it's just so, just the idea of it is just, like, without an instruction booklet, how would you even know how to play this game? You know what I mean? Like, I know a lot of old games... especially from, like, this era and later, where kind of fell into that trap where it's like, if you will not know what's going on unless if you read the instruction booklet. And that's just how things worked. You know, that's just how they made games back then, because they didn't have any idea of how to do, like, a tutorial level or, you know, gameplay mechanics that actually made sense that you would learn as you were playing, that kind of thing. But I think, I just don't think anybody would be able to sit down without knowing what was going on to play this game and be like, oh yeah, I know what I'm doing, because I don't know what he's doing and I'm watching it right now and we're talking about it. Like, I still don't get what's going on.
It still looks better than Windjammers.
Dude, nothing looks better than Windjammers. That was the beauty of the Neo Geo. They had the ability to create sprites that were so detailed and so pixelated and so pixel perfect that it was like the all of any other company. It was like, if you want pixel art, you go to Neo Geo. Windjammers had it in spades. Or flying discs.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you're just playing Frisbee.
What's wrong with Frisbee?
No one cares about Frisbee.
I would rather play Frisbee than a mediocre, watered-down Twisted Metal.
Whoa. Yeah. Whoa, this came out before Twisted Metal?
Can we really even call it Twisted Metal, though?
You can't.
Can we really? Because Twisted Metal had a story.
This has a story. You're a racer guy. He's racing.
No, because you had some of that guy. And he could grant wishes, and yeah. He was
it was very basic in most of them, but Twisted Metal Black in particular actually focused on like the psychology of some of the characters.
Yeah. Dude, that game still creeps me out. All the characters, rather. Anytime I play it. Like, I'm a big Sweet Tooth fan. Like, I've always played a Sweet Tooth just because I like his little rocket, homing rocket thing. And, like, when they really started to devil into, like, his story and stuff, like, it's too much. What was that crappy vehicular combat game that was on the 64? There was, like, two different games.
Oh, something 79, something...
Yeah, it was something like that. It was like, the only thing I can remember from the game is one of the cars was like a hot dog vending car, and like the hot dog came out and it was like slapping people in the face.
It was either Interstate 76 or Vigilante 8.
Vigilante 8, that's what it is. This is, Death Rally is the Vigilante 8 of vehicular combat games.
Whoa,
dude, come on,
that hurts. It's just saying, you should buy it.
No, I don't want to play it, because this is one of those games that if I'm playing it and I'm like, oh, this is like A, or this is like B, or this is like game C, and if I put more than 5 minutes into it, all I'm going to want to do is play that other game that did it so much better. It's just like Windjammers. When I play Pong on the Atari 2600, I'm playing it, and I'm like, wow, this game's a lot of fun, but it's nowhere near as good as Windjammers.
So, hold on. I want to make sure I'm looking at the right game here.
It's Windjammers for the Neo Geo.
I want to make sure I'm looking at the right game here. There's a blue disc, and there's two people.
Yeah.
And there's a beach lady just watching it.
Yes, that is Windjammers for the Neo Geo.
That is one bored lady.
Yes. Who wants to watch a
Frisbee go back and forth?
Exactly.
Me. I want to watch it. It looks amazing.
But why?
It's so beautiful. There's so many pixels. Did I not mention the pixels? So many pixels.
This kind of, I gotta say, looking at this, the graphics, they remind me of Super Baseball 2020.
Yes! Great game. Right?
That is a great game.
Yeah. This is not.
This, where you're looking at the same screen of Frisbee going back and forth, I don't see it.
No.
Well, you could change the arena that you're in. So there's like the sand arena, and there's like a turf arena, and there's a grass arena, and they all have different attributes, you know, much like tennis, maybe, if you want to go that far with it. But
then why don't I just play a tennis game?
Because in tennis, you can't racket the ball off the side of the court and let it still be in play. Like, this is
are there any
arena.
Stage hazards? Do you get any special powers?
You do get special powers. Well, there's power-ups, rather. Like, if you're able to deflect the disc and let it pop in the air, you can kind of, like, charge up. And then when you grab the disc, you can, like, throw it super fast.
You know what this game reminds me of? It's they're trying to take a really boring concept and just spice it up, like, to the, like, extreme, like, that 90s stereotype extreme. Where it just becomes, like, a bad, like, early 2000s Sonic game. Like, it's that extreme.
Whoa, whoa. Why do you gotta bring Sonic into this, man? Why do you gotta do that?
You know, it's what funny is... you use the extreme terminology. It's about as extreme as the Quack Pack back in the day.
The Quack Pack. Wow. Come on. We're talking about Windjammers here.
Windjammers. Even the name.
All right, the name's pretty lame. I'm not going to lie.
Well, guys.
It's a better name.
Guys, have you played Windjammers?
Well, no, but that, like, when I, like, a couple of years ago when I rediscovered this game, I was like, oh my god, I remember playing that game. I don't remember the title being so awful.
How can you use that title to describe the game?
I don't know, man. Like, I'm sure.
How does the,
like,
title tell you anything about what the game's about?
I'm sure there's some sort of crappy, like, story.
You know what? The Japanese name is Flying Power Disc, which is more obvious.
It is, but that's pretty bad, though. I'd take Windjammers over Flying Power Disc.
At least I know what the hell it is when they say Flying Power Disc.
Oh, like, it's so much fun. Look at it. Oh. They're having so much fun in the video.
No, it's just awful.
Look at the art. The music's great.
All right.
Windjammers.
Let's wrap it up.
Windjammers.
What's your argument?
Flying, what was it? Flying Power Disc? Is that what it was?
Yeah, Flying Power Disc.
So bad.
Flying Power Disc. Hey, this one screenshot has the other player getting, like, completely owned by the Power Disc.
Yeah, that happens. People get hurt in my game. And there's no coming back from it. Unless if you get, like, more quarters that you can pop into the machine. Then you just keep continuing.
But then there's literally nothing going on because they're knocked out by the power disc.
It's a flying power disc, man. Like, it's not just any disc. Sorry, Jason, what were you saying?
I was going to say final arguments.
Oh, okay.
Hunter,
all right.
Why should people vote for a flying power disc?
If you love Pong and you always wanted to know what Pong would be like on acid, it's Windjammers for the video game.
All right. Victor, why should people vote for Mendel Palace?
Probably the only thing I didn't mention when I was talking about it before. There's a particular level where I call them the copycat girls because they're literally copy every move that you do. So trying to actually be able to push them into the wall without getting them to push you into the wall because of the actions you make makes for a pretty interesting level. Whether you like the game or not, it's worth trying out for that level. I think it's a pretty interesting concept.
All right. I'm going to say you should vote for Death Rally. Because it's the only game that was actually brought to the podcast.
Well, that's not true at all.
It's ouch.
We totally
better than
brought
Windjammers. All right. That's it for episode 110, the Warmer Capsule podcast. My name's Jason Lamb. You can follow me on Twitter at Jason Lamb. Hunter, would you like to give any shout-outs? Perhaps tell us your grandmother's secret recipe for chocolate chip cookies.
You can follow me on Twitter at Eric Hunter. My indie game review blog is imericm.com. And I don't believe my grandmother ever made chocolate chip cookies, so the recipe that she used was Nestle Toulouse.
All right. Victor, do you have any shout-outs, any plugs you'd like to drop?
I tend to have a lot of outlets, so I'm not going to sit here and go down a list. That would be really bad. So,
do them all, Victor.
Video Gaming Hardcore. You can follow them on Twitter. That's my personal gaming community. And on Facebook in particular, if you look up VGHC, you'll be able to find a group with constant gaming discussion. Follow it on Twitter with @officialVGHC. And speaking of which, through that community, myself, Joshua Caleb, and Dan Janoff will be streaming for Extra Life. We've been raising money towards that cause. You can go to extralife.org to find out more about it. And outside of that, we will be doing the 24-hour stream this Saturday.
Sweet. Awesome, man.
Oh, and you can follow me at my name, Victor Max Velen.
You can call him Victor.
Yes. All right, that's it for episode 110. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Join us next week. And remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president.